Good morning. There are some of you here that are going to hear a lot of repetitive stuff of what we talked about in class in the last couple of weeks. And the reason being is from what I received in the mail in the last two or three weeks. This probably had the biggest influence on my talk today that I'm going to be going through. But I want you to remember the subject, which is in three different parts. It's all the same, related to the same subject, but it's three different types of the title of the talk. Probably about two or three weeks ago, I received a letter, and it was addressed specifically to me in the mail. And this letter stirred me up in a lot of different ways. Stirred up different emotions in me that, like as I mentioned before, probably led to most of this talk today. And I'm going to entitle it, I said, like I mentioned before, in three different ways. And the first one is we find in find this part of it in 1 Peter 3 and 15. 1 Peter 3 and 15. If I can get my eyes to work here. It says, "Be ready always to give an answer to any man who asketh you of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear." So the first part of the subject is, be ready always to give an answer. The second part of it is, do we always have an answer? And the third part of it is there always an answer? And I guess the fourth part of it would be, do you give an answer? When I received this letter, as I mentioned before, it stirred me up in many ways. I'm going to read this as best I can to you, as briefly as I can, to see if it stirs up also something in you. And we talked about this in the class quite a bit. And it's it's from the American Atheist, who just in the last weekend had a big conference here in Des Moines, for those who didn't know that, which I'm sure a lot of you are aware of. And it's entitled, "Dear Mr. Brady, the term isolation, it means the feeling that you are somehow removed from your friends and family, that you don't belong to any recognizable group, and are completely alone. This is the feeling many atheists in Iowa feel, despite being more plentiful than Jews, Hindus, and Buddhists combined and doubled. They live in the Bible Belt and are constantly reminded that since they are not part of the Christian church, they simply don't count. Iowa's atheists are pressured into the proverbial closet, repressed into the background, while told to wear the happy face of conformity. They watch helplessly as the religious right forces judges out of office, pushes creationism in schools, exploits the tax codes, and squashes opposing views. As a perfect demonstration of Christianity's stranglehold on local society, the billboard below," which I'll tell you what it says here, "the billboard below was refused by a major billboard company because, as in their words, Des Moines is a Christian city. This billboard says," and this is probably the ones they tried to get all over Des Moines, which I didn't happen to see, "but it says in big letters, 'You know there is no God. We know that you're right.' American Atheist National Convention held last weekend, April 21st through 24th, in Des Moines, Iowa. Yet despite the pressure to stay in the closet, America's atheists are coming out and speaking up. American Atheist is Iowa's I'll try that one more time. American Atheists in America is America's premier nonprofit organization supporting America's non-religious community. Since 1963, we've been fighting for equality for atheists in the laws as well as in the hearts and minds of Americans' citizenry. And we are coming to Des Moines for our national convention. This convention will empower atheists through education, motivation, and best of all, a sense of belonging and community. We will bring in some of the movement's greatest speakers, including so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm not going to give credit to their names here. To inform and motivate the attendees, while comedians, including Showtime's so-and-so, inject some much-needed laughter. Find out more at atheist.org, Des Moines. Through awareness and organization, we can defeat the bigotry that keeps atheists in the closet. It is important that Des Moines learns about its atheists, and even more important that local atheists learn about each other, including our local partner, the Iowa Atheists and Freethinkers. To that end, we will place billboards all over the city of Des Moines, because we found a new billboard company that will support us, which will cost about $15,000, for which we need your support. Because we are a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, your contribution to our Des Moines Billboard Fund is tax deductible. Please help us tell Des Moines that the atheists among them will no longer sit silent while the religious right runs rampant. Please support our campaign and join us for a great weekend. Atheists in Iowa, powerful, plentiful, and permanent. On the other side, it lists all the different ways that you can give a tax-deductible donation, and they'll take well over any amount that you'll give them in excess of $1,000 if you want to. And they have all kinds of tickets you can buy for their special little event that they have. And they talked before about having special speakers and somebody that was a comedian and so on. And so when I first got this, I had a lot of different thoughts. The first, first thing that came to mind was, I would say anger, simply because why did I get this in the mail anyway? Period. Just wanted to just throw it in the trash. That's just beyond me. Why would I even get this letter? But you know, after I calmed down a little bit, I thought, you know, do I just sit back and throw this in the trash? What good's going to come out of that? Probably no good's going to come out of anything, but I really, at least, do I need to give an answer back to these people? Okay, so to support their belief that there is no God, they're asking for money. They're asking for my support, and there are probably other people here that may have got the same thing. So at first, it got me a little bit frustrated with them. And then they're going to have a dinner and a party of sorts where you can come and dine with them, with the stars, as it says on this paper. And there's even a costume and awards ceremony. Now, my first thought came to mind, a devil costume would probably be in order here. That would probably work very well. But the thing of it is even though we can make fun of it, this convention happened last weekend. A lot of us maybe didn't know that, and some of us did. Now, I really haven't been associated with really any atheists in my lifetime. So I really don't understand. I've always heard them talked about and so on. I really don't totally understand a lot about them, other than I know they're just completely against God. This opened my eyes a lot to what they think and how they think. So I really had a hard time understanding that anybody could actually say that there is no God and make a big deal out of it out in public. So when I read this letter, it was really hard for me to really fathom what it really meant, that anybody could actually believe that. So as I mentioned before, first I was a little angry, but you know, a little later I was really sad for these people and anybody who doesn't believe in God. Because the atheist people and anybody that's against God, they worship the things of the world instead of the things of God. I felt really sad, and I wanted to do something in return that would help them to try to understand that. I wanted to give them the words that we're going to read here briefly in Ephesians the 5th chapter and 1 John the 2nd chapter. I wanted to send these verses to them, because these verses could really help them if they would just listen to them and look at them and read what it says there and then try to understand it. It really could either help them, or unfortunately it will condemn all who believe this way if they don't change their ways. And that makes me really sad as I feel that we all should be sad for anyone who feels this way. Because without God, of course, they have no hope. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, in the first 14 verses, and I'm going to read this from the New Living because I like the wording on that. Ephesians 5, 1 through 14 says, "Follow God's example in everything you do because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love for others." And that's a really hard things to do, but that's something that we can show to others. "Follow the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet-smelling perfume to him. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is really an idolater who worships the things of the world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible anger of God comes upon all those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things that these people do. For though your hearts were once full of darkness, now are you full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things which ungodly people do in secret. But when the light shines on them, it becomes clear how evil these things are. And where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds." And also in 1 John 2:15-17, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." These words are pretty sharp and to the point, explaining how God feels, explaining how we're to act, explaining what he wants from us. So at this point, my next thought was, how did these people come to these thoughts of not believing that there is a God? How do people stray away from the true word of what God puts in the Bible for us to follow? How do they get away from the truth of God? And how do they get away from God in general? Well, I believe that you need to know more about how they got that way, why they got that way, what's made them the way they are, so that you can have the best opportunity to maybe have an answer for them, so that we might have an answer that might actually help them. I think God explains that very well also in Romans, the first chapter, Romans 1:18-32. I'm going to go ahead and read the New Living again because I like the wording here. Romans 1:18-32 says, and it's talking about God's anger at sin. "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked men and people who push the truth away from themselves. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God has made. They can clearly see the invisible qualities, his external power and divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The result was that their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people, or birds and animals and snakes. So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God. They deliberately chose to believe lies, so they worshiped the things God made, but not the Creator Himself, who is to be praised forever. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way of having relations and instead indulged in relations with each other. And the men, instead of having relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men and as a result suffered within themselves the penalty that they so richly deserved. When they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things they should never have done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fightings, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They are forever inventing new ways of sinning and are disobedient to their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, and are heartless and unforgiving. They are fully aware of God's death penalty for those who do these things, yet they go right ahead and do them anyway, and worse yet, they encourage others to do them also. It's pretty brief, or pretty straight to the point of what God hates and why men have become the way they've become today. Why they say there is no God. Why they change what His Word says. Why they do the things they do. And why we see what we see today. And this explains exactly why mankind has come to the point that they have. Now, even though it wasn't the best response probably that anybody could have given, and I'm sure you could have probably come up with other things to say, this is what I made a copy of their letter and sent it back to them. First of all, I crossed out yes and put no, I would not like to help the American Atheist post billboards in Des Moines with my donation. And I tried to do this as kindly as possible simply because what are they going to listen to? Is there anything they're going to listen to? Probably not. But I just said, "Dear sirs, I am very sorry to hear that you and your organization do not believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Without God, you have no hope of heaven. That is so sad. I don't know anyone who can find true happiness without that hope. Please take me off your list. Thank you, Mike Brady." But you know, after the fact, you always think of other things to write. And I would have liked to add these things at the end. Simply saying, I sincerely hope that something happens in your lives that makes you realize that God is truly real. Look around you and you can see that. That only through Him and His Son can you experience the peace and the true happiness that only comes to us through them. Signed, myself. Now I realize in this example that I probably wouldn't be able to send all these verses to them, even though maybe I should have. Because I knew they wouldn't look at them. I knew they wouldn't listen to them. I knew they probably wouldn't do any good. But you know, now that I think back at that, maybe I should have sent these verses to them. But I want you to think for yourself, what would you have done? What would you do about this? I mean, it's already happened last weekend, but what are we going to do in the future to try to talk for God? And that's what I was trying to think about. How could I really answer these people? What kind of an answer could I give? And is there an answer? But I found, and the Bible teaches that unless a person's willing and open to listen to God and His teachings, it's pretty hard to convince them. But does that mean we keep silent and quiet? No, I don't believe so. Probably the only thing and the most important thing that we could do, I or anybody could do, for those who believe this, is to go to God in prayer and ask God to help them, help something to happen in their lives, help something to wake them up in some way. Help something to come out for them that they might realize there is a God and they might want to change their mind. So especially pray for them. God always tells us to pray for all men, even our enemies. And as we just read in the verses, we should always be loving and try to show our love for them and be a good example. Let our light shine. Maybe our light shining to them is the only godly light they'll ever see in their lifetime. Maybe it's light that will make a difference for them. Most of all, especially, God tells us to pray for all men. And who knows, whether it's them or anybody else in this world today, that little window might open and we might be able to tell what God and Christ had done for us. We might be able to witness to them. Tell them why we're excited about God and Christ. Tell them what it's done for us, what they've done for us, and how they can help them also. The scary thing is, as it says in here, it touches on it, this organization plans on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This is just the beginning of a lot of different things that are probably going to happen in the future. This is only one organization that is trying to change the Word of God and has changed the Word of God in some cases. And if we're not careful, we have to always be careful that we know what God's Word says. So they plan on getting bigger and bigger, and I think that's a scary thing. We need to take them very seriously and do all that we can to deter what they're trying to do. Their goal is to completely wipe out anything to do with God. We know that there's many who are trying to take off In God We Trust off the coins and stop prayers in schools, and they're trying to do many things to try to stop God even being mentioned in their lives. There's a big one that comes to mind that I'm sure we've all are well aware of lately, and that is the homosexual movement that's out there, and that's a big thing that's happened here in Iowa. Sad thing of it is we see more and more on our televisions and what we can watch, that it's a really big thing that Hollywood is trying to push. They're trying to push homosexuality and anything that deals with that upon all of us so that we can accept it. And I don't know if you realize it or seen it more and more, but it is getting very well accepted wherever you go, more and more every day. We all know that. You just go back, actually just look back at what they just accomplished here in our legislature. They had some laws changed through certain people who believe that, who have gone along with what the revolution is. It has now become legal for same-sex marriages in 6 states. Their goal is to make it legal in every state. It's legal in many countries in different areas. And unfortunately, in our state, we're one of them, as we all know. We weren't given a chance to vote on that, even though we should have been. I think we as voters made a huge statement by voting out these judges who helped us to get into effect without our initial vote. But now, again, what we're going back to our main subject is, what's our answer from here on? What can we do from here on? Because it's still in effect. We've got the judges out of the office, but it's still in effect. Same-sex marriage is still here in Iowa. So what are we trying to do? Is there anything we can do? I think we need to try to do everything we can do to be a voice for God, to try to keep this from becoming something that's just acceptable no matter what. We know it's not accepted by us, but if we don't do something about it, it's just going to stay in our state. And I believe if we get the chance to vote again, that it will be overturned. So we definitely had an answer back then when we voted the judges out. And we definitely have an answer now, but we have to be able to give that answer, to have the opportunity to give that answer to overcome evil and to expose evil as God tells us to do. You know, God cares about everyone here, and God cares about everyone in this world today. You know, as I go around and round in my job, I see every day that it just seems like the world is getting more and more unhappy. There's more and more evil in the world. People are just extremely rude in their cars. They just don't care about you at all. They just don't have God on their side. Maybe some of these people are part of this organization or these organizations that are going against God and trying to persuade others. But the great thing about it is God gives everyone a chance to change. Gives everyone a chance in this world to choose wisely and accept Him and follow Him and obey Him and worship Him. Or they can choose foolishly, go against God, try to get other people against God, try to change His word, try to deceive others, and love the things of the world. It's so easy for us to like and love the things of the world if we allow them. Probably in things we have today, we don't even realize that we really care maybe too much for. And if we love the things of the world, we're going to receive the horrible punishment for all eternity in hellfire. So are we always ready to give an answer? You know, we can just sit back and do nothing, and it's just going to grow and grow and grow. Or we can try to do something about it. I'd be pointing at myself probably the most. I'm not pointing at anybody particular here at all. I'd probably be pointing at myself and saying I probably failed in giving an answer in many situations that I've had. But if you just sit back and you don't give an answer, if you don't do anything about it, and is there always an answer? I'm not sure there's always an answer that will do something in that moment. But if you sit back and do nothing about it, did you try to give an answer? Did you try to do what God wants you to do? The reason I brought up this talk, not only because it was so enlightening to me for what I see of what's going on, and there's many things we could go on and on about all the different things that go on in our world today, but I think we need to just really take a close look at what's going on in our world today. And there's probably not a lot we can do about some things in the world to change them, but there's nothing we can do if we sit back and just let them happen. Really, we're not giving an answer. Now, if somebody asks us of the hope that's in us and our Christianity, I think we all better have that answer for them. We better know why we're believing in God. We better know what the Scripture teaches on that. And if we don't know, we need to go find that out. It'll help us grow as a Christian. And if at all possible, if they're open to it, we need to have a Bible study with that person if they're open to it, so that we can enlighten them and also enlighten us even further. But I believe God teaches us that we should always be ready to give an answer. So do we have an answer for everything that do we try to always have an answer? In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This is what all Christians should be extremely thankful for. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin and not doing what God wants us to do is eternal death and the horrible punishment in hell at the end of time. Everyone has God's gift. Everyone can have God's gift of eternal life. He makes it open to the most evil person in the world today. If they accept Him and His Son, and they take the steps necessary to salvation, all we have to do is take the opportunity to do that. So at this time, we're going to give you the opportunity to take advantage of God's opening for you and for all mankind to accept Him. Take the steps necessary to have your sins washed away and become a child of His. We're going to give you that opportunity to do that as we stand and sing the closing invitation number.